Fourth Tower, Week 5, Friday.
High upon a mountain, above the pines and mist that surrounds the Bay of Inverness, there stands an incredible mansion. Its three towers appear to pierce the sky. Its windows are like a thousand eyes turned inward. And its doors, hinged on time, open into endless space.
Fourth Tower of Inverness!
And now we return to the thrilling adventure serial, The Fourth Tower of Inverness. Responding to the bell that signaled the entrapment of the dragon, Jack Flanders, Dr. Missoula, and little Frida hurry to the old temple near the dragon's cave. There they discover Dr. Missoula's heavy-duty dragon flypaper was torn to shreds. While they stood amidst the ruins of the temple contemplating this disaster, little Frida began to feel a strange power within the seven inner pillars of the temple. Little Frida began to emit light, then colors, then she dissolved.
Wow! Did you see that?
Remarkable. Into thin air.
Well, what happened?
I'm not certain, but I believe she dissolved.
Oh, obviously she dissolved.
Dissolved into pure energy, which we are anyway. But when she began to feel whatever this energy is here among these pillars, she began to dissolve just like a teaspoon of sugar that's dropped into a cup of tea.
Is she alive?
How should I know?
You mean you didn't engineer this?
I swear to you, this is no illusion.
Well, I know it's no illusion. It's just... Oh, damn, what can we do?
Go in there after her.
Well, we're standing right here on the spot where she disappeared and nothing's happening to us, so how?
I'll invent something.
Oh, boy. Dr. Zarkov of Inverness.
You know nothing about Inverness. Absolutely nothing. There are powers here that go back ages. This whole area is sacred territory. That mountain where the house stands was once a place of worship. The house was built all intricate angles to capture and multiply the vibrations that emit from this sacred earth, as well as those that come from out there. In this temple, these ruins, no one knows who built them.
Okay. So what do we do about little Frida?
She may return on her own. If not, we'll go after her.
Well, how do we do that?
I don't know yet.
Wait, I've got it. Chief Wampum, he'd know.
He might. Talk to him. In the meanwhile, I may as well pick up this dragon litter.
Well, I haven't seen the chief tonight. He must be back at the house. I'll see you. Wow, this place is really weird. I think Dr. Missoula was being honest about little Frida. From what I can figure out, they caused some of the things that are going on, but there's a lot that... Ah, who knows? I suspect that little Frida could already do that or was on the verge of being able to do that. Well, somehow it... Weird as it was, it seemed kind of natural. I don't know. Well, that moon is really bright. There's a nice view of the mansion. Impressive, all right. Quite a piece of architecture. Those four towers rising up into the sky with their... Four? There's only three. No, there's four. There's the fourth one. I can't believe it. It's as solid looking as the rest of them. And that jukebox that plays every time an accident is about to happen. I'll bet there's a way of getting in there by going through the walls. From the inside. Come on, feet. Do your stuff. Somewhere here is the entrance to the underground passageway. Oh, here it is. Now, let's see. I think I know. This way. Now, around this corner and... dead end. This is as bad as the maze. Let's see, it's bound to be here, somewhere. I'm positive of that. Let me examine this dead end. Just a full-length mirror. And I remember how in the Cocteau movies they'd leap into the mirror and disappear. I wonder if that's possible. But what if I... Well, here goes. So much for that idea. Maybe there's a button or something to push or... Oh, the mirror swings open. It's a door. See what's on the other side. Another mirror? What is this, an amusement park? This mirror... I stepped right through it. Nothing. Nothingness. Space. There's clouds floating below, but they're... there, beyond the space on the other side, are steps leading up. I can't leap that space. Well, here I am. Inside the fourth tower of Inverness at last. But I'm at the bottom and I can't go any farther. I'm stuck.
And now we begin the sixth week of the fourth tower of Inverness. But for Jack, it's as though 3 days had passed. The time moves differently when in the realm of Inverness. Whoever the ancients were that inhabited this mountain, their ceremonies, their worship of the gods, created vibrations so strong they pierce deep into the earth and rock of Inverness. The roots of the trees and grass have drunk of these vibrations until the very vegetation upon the mountain at times appears to shimmer with sacred praises to the gods. But there are those that tap these vibrations and channel them into other uses. When we last left Jack Flanders, he had once again seen the fourth tower of Inverness. He ran as fast as he could to the mansion, ran through the secret passageways inside the walls until he came to a dead end with a full-length mirror upon the wall. Investigating, he found the mirror was a door. Behind the door was another mirror. But when he stepped through it, he found himself standing upon a concrete ledge with steps beyond leading into the tower. But in between, nothing but space, clouds below drifting by, and he was in the fourth tower. But he could not leap the space to climb the steps. So there he stands.
Darn! I can't jump that distance. It's about 12 feet to those steps. I get this far and now I have to turn back. I don't know when the tower will show itself again. Oh, shoot. Why is it that every time I get what I want, it's not what I expected? That's the story of my life. Oh, well. Back out and through the mirror.
So, Jack, little Frieda dissolved into color and disappeared. She's a sensitive girl, but I'm certain she'll be able to take care of herself.
Well, you don't seem very concerned, Auntie.
I don't know how concern will help her. I suppose she was caught up with the ecstasy of the moment and just let herself dissolve.
She's not a lump of sugar.
She is sweet. No, Jack, the reason I'm not overly concerned, I am concerned, but just enough. You see, the reason is that little Frieda has abilities that human beings, normal human beings, haven't realized.
You're inferring that she's done this before.
I'm inferring? No, no. I'm saying quite explicitly that she may have decided at the moment that everything was exactly right, exactly as it should be, and let go.
She didn't die, did she?
Oh, Jack, the way you say that, I'm surprised at you. After re-experiencing several past lives, I would have thought your view of death would be healthier than that. Why, even your Time magazine has altered their column, Births and Deaths, or whatever it was, to Transitions. Soon people will realize that they just keep coming back and coming back. Do you mind being born again?
Not that much. But I could do without going through high school again.
Oh, I see. You've changed the line. That's fair. Jack, do you recall my mentioning to you the Tibetan Wheel of Life?
Yes, I do.
These Tibetans have it all down pat, as they say. I think you mentioned seeing the wheel in the library, was it not?
Yes, I did.
Now, concentrate on it. Focus a picture of the wheel in your mind. Can you do that?
Just vaguely. It's difficult.
Well, forget the wheel for a moment. Concentrate on any other image. For instance, a white elephant.
Okay, I've got it.
You can see the white elephant?
Yes, clearly.
Ah, well then you can see the wheel. It's very simple. You must learn to train your mind to run errands for you.
Well, that sounds simple, but I'm just not certain that I can do it.
A little practice is all you need, Jack. The mind can be sent out to gather information of all sorts. Why, it's like speaking on a telephone, being able to see the other person, what he or she is wearing, the room around him.
Well...
You don't do that, I presume.
Well, that sounds kind of psychic.
It's words like that, Jack, that cause people to think they cannot, they cannot, they cannot. When you realize that you can, then you can sit in the leisure of your armchair or sip your tea as I am doing now and send your mind out to gather all sorts of things.
If you say so.
It's expressions of enthusiasm like that one that will get you at least another 15 lifetimes.
I don't think being reborn is so bad.
Oh, it's not reborn. It's growing old physically and listening to your bones creak. That's so tiresome. But let me continue with the Tibetan Wheel of Life. It's most important.
Go on.
Now, as you can see, you can see the wheel.
Oh, yes, clearly, yes.
On the outer rim, there are 12 characters.
Mm-hmm.
A blind woman representing ignorance, feeling her way with a stick, is the first. Can you see it?
Yes, a blind woman.
Now, because of his spiritual blindness, man blunders through life, creating an illusory picture of himself and the world. His will is then directed upon unreal things, while his character is formed in accordance with this direction of his will, and his desire, and his imagination.
Hmm.
Now, the next figure is the potter. Can you see the potter?
Yes, yes.
The form creating activity. Just as the potter creates the shape of pots, so we form our characters and our destiny, or more correctly, our karma, the outcome of our deeds in works, words, and thoughts. These volitional acts become a cause of new activity and constitute the directing principle or character of a new consciousness.
Oh, I don't know if I get that.
Oh, Jack, listen carefully. Character is nothing but a tendency of our will. A formation of repeated actions. Every deed we do leaves a trace, a path formed by the process of walking. And wherever such a once-trodden path exists, there we find, when a similar situation arises, that we take to this path spontaneously. This is the law of action and reaction, what we call karma, the law of movement in the direction of the least resistance, meaning the frequently trodden and therefore easier path. It is what is commonly known as the force of habit.
Hmm.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
Now, Just as the potter forms vessels out of formless clay, so we create through deeds, words, and thoughts out of the still unformed material of our life and our sense impressions the vessel of our future consciousness, namely that which gives it form and direction.
I don't know. That sounds pretty heavy.
Buck up, Jack. You'll get it yet. Would you like some tea?
Yes. I think I could do with some.
Good. We'll take a break then. Jives! Jives! Clear away this rubble and bring us a new tea set. And some more crumpets.
Tune in at this same time tomorrow when you'll hear...
The Tibetan attitude toward sexual things is of a disarming naturalness and objectivity. The Tibetan does not hesitate to depict the sexual act and the act of giving undisguised and without ambiguity. Now.
The Fourth Tower is produced by ZBS Media.